Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
While Eminem certainly has the accolades to redeem the title as the best rapper ever, you can't necessarily say the same thing when the topic is about bringing up other talented artists, often known as the Eminem label curse. There have been multiple artists who, after affiliating with Shady, have experienced tremendous downfalls. But there's only one rapper in particular who Eminem regretted signing, and that rapper was Joe Budden. Today we're going to break down how one artist from the group Slaughterhouse became Eminem's worst nightmare, and what ultimately led to ruining their seemingly promising career. But before we discuss how Joe Budden made Eminem's life a living hell, it's important to understand how he got here in the first place.
I believed in them. You know, I wanted them to be huge, man. I really did. I wanted a group that lyrical to just bust through everything.
When Eminem first signed Slaughterhouse back in 2011, he was in the midst of making a comeback after a short hiatus to get clean from a drug addiction and looking to rebuild Shady Records.
Shady Records is still a priority for you? It's something you still really believe in?
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely trying to get it back up and running. You know what I mean? I think we're in a rebuilding process right now.
The only problem was that it's no secret that Eminem seems to have bad luck when it comes to signing other artists. D12, for example, had a lot going for them in the early 2000s, but by around the year 2004, they had came and went. And while 50 Cent signing to Eminem makes him some type of anomaly, the same can be said for rappers like Obie Trice, Yella Wolf, and even Griselda back in 2017. All of these rappers had a ton of hype when signing to Eminem, but when we take a look at how their careers fleshed out, it's clear that most of them never really lived up to the hype. Knowing this, Eminem returned back much more clear-headed upon exiting rehab in 2008, and a few opportunities were knocking at his door. While in the midst of rekindling his relationship with Royce da 5'9", for example, who was one of the first people to ever collaborate with Eminem back in 1997, they began collaborating on the album Hell the Sequel, and this is where the stars seem to have aligned for Eminem. Because around the time of 2009 to 2010, Royce da 5'9" was also co-creating one of the greatest hip-hop supergroups to emerge from the genre. The squad consisted of Royce himself, Joell Ortiz, Crooked Eye, and of course, Joe Budden, who over the course of his career has squared off with a bunch of rappers, ranging from Jay-Z, The Game, Wu-Tang Clan, Mobb Deep, and many more. Initially, Royce da 5'9" had no time for a troublemaker like Joe, and if Royce had stuck with his gut, Eminem's ill-fated signing of Budden might have never even happened. Nonetheless, upon joining forces in 2009 to form the group Slaughterhouse, all members of the group shared similarities of not only being lyrically gifted, but all wanting to move on from some type of drama they experienced in the music industry, leading to the creation of one of their first songs titled Move On.
I'm on my grind. Benjamin Hutton was old since I was young. Call me Benjamin Button. Stop using slang just for
each guy in the squad had a relatively large fan base before creating the crew. And when releasing their first song together on Joe Budden's album Halfway House, the fans' reception made it clear that this was a match made in heaven.
So when he called me and I asked him who was gonna be on the song, he said Crooked Eye and Joell Ortiz. And I was like, wow, that sounds like a Slaughterhouse. Drove to the studio, laid it down, sent it to him. Next thing you know, it was out, and it just sent the internet and kind of like a frenzy on an underground tip. So, I mean, after that, we spoke and we all agreed that we should just keep working with each other.
fans were baffled at how amazing the track was, with many people churning to the comments to cite their favorite lyrics. It was clear there was something very special about this group, and only a few months later, they decided to capitalize off the momentum. They then promptly named themselves Slaughterhouse and eventually created a small buzz in the underground hip-hop scene with various singles and mixtapes. Eminem, wanting to make the most of he and Royce's fruitful bond, saw this as the perfect opportunity to finally make up for the horrifying downfalls with the rappers he signed in the past, whilst making it a win-win for both parties involved. However, exposing his massive audience to help propel them away from the underground and into the mainstream is exactly where Eminem went wrong.
I just make it clear though that aside from the joke, I think that Slaughterhouse is one of the best rap groups to ever happen. I wish their first album would have connected to more people than it did.
After signing the record deal with Shady, everything seemed to have fallen in place for the Slaughterhouse family, as they started to gain momentum after dropping one of the most famous BET ciphers of all time.
Wait, can I rap?
You're the boss, so you better
get up.
Me rap? You better represent.
Yo! Lyrical, miracle, spiritual, individual, criminal, subliminal, in your swimming pool.
At this time, all of the members seemed their hungriest, but also showcased signs of having a strong friendly bond with lots of chemistry. And the only direction they seemed to be heading was up. They would go on to drop their DJ Drama hosted Slaughterhouse EP to build more momentum, before popping up on Bad Meets Evil's Hell the Sequel EP on Loud Noises. However, it wasn't until the release of their debut album, Welcome to Our House, that dropped on August 28th, 2012, where Eminem probably began to think that he made a huge mistake.
I'm cool, calm, collective, smooth. I come from using coupons.
Suddenly on the cover of The Source and touring the entire world with Eminem, it must have felt to Slaughterhouse that they had reached the promised land. Now, all they had to do was deliver their first Shady-backed album, Welcome to Our House. Nonetheless, their debut album peaked at number 2 on the Billboard charts and sold 52,000 copies in its first week, marking the highest chart position of Budden, Joel, or Crooked Eye's careers by miles. However, while Eminem did help Slaughterhouse solve the problem for lack of discovery, they ran into another problem shortly after. Now, 52,000 copies sold is a lot of records, but considering there was 4 mouths to feed in the crew, on top of production costs, studio times, distribution, and taxes, you can bet the profit margin was very small, and that all parties involved didn't make that much money. The reason for poor record sales could be due to the group making an effort to create more radio-friendly content with songs like Throw It Away and My Life. While most people are under the belief that using this tactic could indeed help grow a larger fan base, it may cause the artists involved to disconnect from their core audience in the process. And this was the exact case for Slaughterhouse, as it appeared that Eminem seemed to have single-handedly stripped the gritty and raw sound that made Slaughterhouse special in the first place. Even Royce reflected on the album and openly admitted that they did not deliver the album they intended to.
Yeah, we didn't deliver the right album. That happens when you're conforming to, I want to say, radio.
With fans claiming they didn't like the direction they were headed and the fact that they're just trying to get mainstream attention now. But more specifically, it was Joe Budden who really stirred the pot on the track Gone, which was off their On The House mixtape that dropped a week before the album as a warm-up, where Joe is heard outlining some of his concerns that Slaughterhouse was suddenly deviating from their original mission, claiming, "I thought we'd never conform. Don't tell me you tricked me. Don't tell me that I was just wrong." Now, this bar is subtle, but it's no doubt that it was indeed a subliminal. Because just 1 year later, in 2015, Joe Budden would drop a complete bomb on Eminem.
So we said, okay, let's do another album, and then you guys do what you want to do with it. Which is kind of, we left the ball in their court kind of thing. So I didn't want to touch it in the sense of, like, other than give my opinions on songs, I didn't want to touch it with my production, because I felt like, what if that is the reason that they didn't sell albums?
By May of 2013, the group returned to work on their third album titled Glass House. Sadly, Fans who have been following the group for a long time are well aware that the project's development caused a lot of conflict within the group. This eventually led Budden feeling resentful towards the man who had helped him achieve the most profitable opportunity in his entire rap career. And by November, recording was underway, and during a Hot 97 interview, Budden, who had since become a reality TV star on Love & Hip Hop, praised the new songs while hinting at his dissatisfaction with their previous work.
Oh, the Slaughterhouse album is great. It's much better than that we did last time. I won't call it, that was a figure of speech, okay, but it's much better music. It's the best music we've ever made, by far.
That. Claiming that it would roll out whenever Eminem was done, Joe told radio hosts that he had hoped the album would at least be out by spring of 2014, but this was actually capped, and it never ended up dropping in 2014 at all. Despite the regular assurances from the likes of Crooked Eye, who said that the album was definitely coming in.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it. Stop it. They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
2015, time began to tick without a single development emerging. Instead, fans made do with House Rules, a DatPiff mixtape which featured a fewer posse cuts and some more solo joints. And although this kept the fans happy for a little while as they awaited the official album, it wasn't enough to satisfy those who were standing by patiently to hear what was said to be their best work yet. As delays piled up, Joe Budden certainly kept himself busy, not least of all by entering the podcast space with his I'll Name This Podcast Later, which, as of now, has arguably eclipsed his rap career in terms of notoriety. This was a sign that things were going to take a turn for the worse, as this would not only signify Joe's new brand direction, but also gave him a platform where he can spill some tea about what's really going on with the crew and Shady Records. All the while, tensions were rising in the Slaughterhouse camp, and they began to spill out in the public view, with Joel Ortiz looking noticeably upset when asked about the album, and more dates that the album never drops on. Eminem would do something that would make things 10 times worse for the entire Shady Records camp, and of course the Slaughterhouse family, when he would go on to drop the Shady XV album. For those who don't know, this was a Shady Records compilation album performed by various artists of Shady Records, including a track called Psychopath Killer featuring Slaughterhouse. The album was released on November 24th, 2014, and was put out in honor of the label's 15th anniversary and its 15th project. But if anything, this album was dishonored, if we keep it a buck, as it would go on to receive a lot of hate from critics, with many fans seeing it more as a quick cash grab than an effort to put out some quality music. And even rappers like Tyler, the Creator, began voicing his opinion on social media that the album was simply not that good. And as the rest of the crew seemed to just simply move on to solo work between 2015 and 2016, Joe Budden was not happy. And as he so often has in his career, he decided to air out the issues to the public.
Tell me where our advantage is in being here with him.
And if we get, once we get the right song and then we send it to Paul.
In the midst of constant album delays, Joe Budden releases an open letter to Eminem on a song titled Slaughtermouse off his 2015 album titled All Love Lost, a heated track which made several references to where he believed his own group slipped under Shady, where Joe claims, "All I thought was it was about to be on, but I never guessed that I was about to be wrong." And these were no subliminals. Joe Budden would literally name drop Eminem on this song. It made it obviously clear that he began to reflect on his relationship with Eminem from the beginning moments.
Look, it was around 9-9, baby coming while I was at rock bottom. Ironic.
Although he tried to play it off as an open letter to Eminem when explaining the track on MTV,
very direct, speaking to
him. My stand record.
Budden would use the song to provide insights into the friction between Slaughterhouse and Eminem. He notes that he asked Eminem's advice about how to navigate in the current music climate and claims that he never really had an interaction with Eminem despite passing by each other in the hallways, which was a clear indication that there was little to no connection between the two of them. He made it seem like a lot of their friction stemmed from Eminem's poor mentorship and Budden's unmet expectations after signing to Shady Records. And in retrospect, this really seemed like the first nail in the coffin happened for Slaughterhouse. And even though they were never literally kicked off the label, it was the day that Joe informally closed the chapter on the group. But this was only scratching the surface. And Joe's next venture as a media personality took things to a whole other level. And it was here where Joe Budden officially crossed the line.
Describe your relationship with Joe Budden.
Me and Joe Budden we're not friends like that. We didn't go to the same high school or something, you know what I'm saying? But when I'm out here flying around to different places and doing interviews and trying to use my platform to pump up Slaughterhouse, and you're using your platform to trash me.
From the outside looking in, it seemed like the group had moved on. But in reality, the drama between Joe Budden and Eminem was only beginning to brew up. Because in April of 2017, Budden signed a deal to work with Complex for a hip-hop show with DJ Academics called Everyday Struggle. And Joe Budden was beginning to say it over and over again that he's officially retiring from hip-hop. It made for a seamless transition as the show was immediately met with amazing feedback from fans, who loved watching Budden absolutely lose his mind while fighting with DJ Academics or other guest appearances on the show.
You cannot tell me, you would be lying to tell me that as a young man in this industry, in this music industry, you are happy 24/7. That is a lie. That is bullshit. I refuse to have somebody tell me bullshit. I want to have an honest conversation.
The show would garner hundreds of thousands, if not millions of views each month, with Joe Budden's crazy antics being the main draw for viewers. This provided Joe Budden a huge opportunity to share his unique perspectives on the music industry. And to Eminem's dismay, this also included his personal experiences with Shady Records. Not only were they tapping in with the show on Complex, but Joe Budden's podcast also began to attract thousands of new viewers. And the Joe Budden brand as a whole began to skyrocket. And as expected, he would first seek to use his new massive audience as a tool to draw in attention to the long-awaited Slaughterhouse album that fans had eagerly been anticipating since 2014.
Edit point, hey, for all of you people that keep wanting a music update, here it is. That Slaughterhouse project, you're not getting it. Hey, sorry. It's some on there. Unfortunately, the best Joel verse that I have ever heard in my entire life is on this album that y'all are never gonna hear. That's f***ed up.
Soon, Joe provoked all sides by claiming that he would leak Glasshouse on Everyday Struggle, saying that he doesn't know who owns that music or if anyone has even been paid for that music. While that struck a chord between Slaughterhouse members Royce and Crooked Eye, Joe was only beginning to ignite the flame.
Probably coming from the dope house. We can let you slide, but your tail light is blue. We know ya.
All right.
It's trash. One of the worst songs I've ever heard. I don't care if the content is great. That is great content, but M is always going to provide great content because he's one of the best wordsmiths to ever live. I'm putting that to the side. This is one of the worst songs I've ever heard.
In December of 2017, Joe Budden made his boldest move yet by roasting Eminem's album Revival on Everyday Struggle. For context, this Eminem album is widely deemed as Eminem's worst project and put Budden in an awkward position when he was asked about his thoughts on Eminem's new single being promoted, which was the song Untouchable. This song in particular stirred up a lot of drama within hip-hop, as it showcased a more political direction that Eminem was taking for his new album, as well as sounding pretty lackluster overall, in my honest opinion. Initially, Joe did appear to maintain some degree of loyalty to M on Everyday Struggle, even telling Academics that he wouldn't critique him. But as the days passed on, lots of people began feeling Budden was being biased and sugarcoating how he really felt since he was signed to Eminem. And this provoked Budden to share his honest thoughts on Eminem's new music that was dropping.
Fast forward. The track list is released, without the benefit of the doubt, appears to be utter garbage. That's what it looks like. I reserve judgment because I think M is a genius, and I know that they are well planned and calculated and meticulous, so maybe these features will make sense. I love M, and M is one of the greatest rappers to ever live. I shut up.
Joe Budden would also go on to accuse Eminem of basically using racial discrimination amongst black people as a way to draw more people in and sell more records.
It seems like you are taking the very common water cooler conversation today of racism, which I hold near and dear to my heart. I know M, so I know that he is not the person that M feels like we feel. I can stand by that. If there's one white person that I know don't really see no color, M might not know he's white. But it's to look like this, I'm putting this on somebody in his team. Because this is disgraceful. This is disgraceful. I hate it. Change this cover. Change the tone of this album. Change all this I ain't heard from you in 4 years. I want to hear from you.
Keep in mind, this all took place while Slaughterhouse was still signed to Shady Records. So imagine someone like Lil Baby doing this to Young Thug, or Baby Keem doing this to Kendrick. Clearly, this was an extremely bad look for Eminem and Slaughterhouse. Even though Slaughterhouse never released Glass House, Budden essentially bit from the hand that was feeding him. And like many people who crossed the line with Eminem, he would eventually respond and set the rap game on fire when he did.
I love Eminem. I'm signed to Eminem. And while I think Untouchable is trash, I'm supporting Eminem.
While Budden's harsh comments on Untouchable aligned with the general consensus, it's still not something a rapper wants to hear, especially coming from one artist that you signed. And on January 8th, 2018, Eminem decided to strike back at everyone talking crap about his album Revival and his song Chloroseptic Remix, with a particular aim set to Joe Budden.
I was walk on water, sucks, bitch, suck my dick. Y'all saw the track list and had it fit before you heard it, so you formed your verdict.
In other words, these lines are a direct shot at Joe Budden's comment on Everyday Struggle. He's complaining that Budden and music fans never even gave the album a fair shot, having given it a bad rap prior to the album's release. And while the criticism is fair on Eminem's end, Budden claimed that he did in fact defend the tracklist and that Eminem was wrong for taking shots at him when everyone was saying the same thing he was saying.
I couldn't have trashed the album that I never heard, and I was the lone person defending the tracklist. So much so, that nigga said, "Oh, Joe, you dick ride, man." So now, how come when he replies to all of y'all, Joe is the one?
If they were artistic criticisms, you are a top five rapper ever with millions of classic albums. You are a legacy act. You are cemented. So what? Everybody doesn't like your last outing.
I agree.
When you're Eminem.
So what did Joe Budden said?
A lot of people were supportive of Joe here, saying things like that people around Eminem struggle to fully be honest with him, despite his apparent desire for honesty. And even Eminem fans were supportive and honest about the album, writing damn near essays explaining their concerns. But little did Budden realize, Eminem wasn't the only one upset. And Royce da 5'9" would also provide a unique third-person perspective, being that he was really close to both rappers.
So I always took it personal. So Joe, somebody being an artist, I thought if anybody, he would understand how important it is walk eggshells around each other's art. That's just how we do. Now, the thing that he said that I really didn't like was something along the lines of people using the plight of black people to sell a record. Yeah, that was a little crazy to me because he knows Marshall personally. Like, he's been to the studio. He knows that's not the kind of person that he is.
With Joe responding, claiming that he would only provide constructive criticism to his friends, something that he didn't consider Eminem as, and one of the group members, Crooked Eye, officially announcing his departure from Slaughterhouse, Joe Budden would go on another podcast and literally blame himself for the group's fallout.
I wanted to take this time to tell the Slaughterhouse fans or anyone who has been keeping up with this, if you are indeed looking for someone to blame, please blame me. We're going to put this all to bed. Like Crook said, there is no bad blood between anyone.
Now, we all know Eminem, and we know that he wasn't going to just let this type of slander slide. And only 6 months after dropping Revival that got extremely poor reviews, Eminem would drop a diss track on his surprise album Kamikaze. Titled The Fall, the song is one of Eminem's most popular songs as of recent, amassing a whopping 220 million views on YouTube alone. Although Eminem dissed many rappers on the Kamikaze album, including Lil Yachty, Lord Jamar, Akademiks, Tekashi 6ix9ine, and many others, it was clear that his primary target was Joe Budden. For example, the album Kamikaze dropped on Joe Budden's birthday, and his diss track to Budden was the harshest on the album. While he was calling Tyler, the Creator, sacrilegious for worshipping D12's balls, and that he had a full magazine that could take Vince Staples out, Eminem took a more personal shot at Joe Budden by referencing his sexual abuse charges that stem from domestic violence charges Budden received in 2014.
Somebody tell Budden before I snap, he better fasten it or have his body back and zip the closest thing he's had to hit to smacking bitches.
For those who don't know, Budden was accused of beating an ex-girlfriend and stolen her phone while choking her. However, the charges were dropped in 2016 due to a lack of evidence. This was a tough shot from Eminem, and it lit a fuse under Joe Budden. And only a few days later, Joe Budden would respond. And this is where things got really wild.
Let me tell you what Joe Budden has thought this entire time. I've been better than you this entire decade. Huh? Can't say that back then.
Knowing that this would be a goldmine for content, Budden dedicated an entire hour and a half long rant on his podcast to the issue. And alongside claiming that he had been better than Eminem this entire decade, he demonstrated the bitterness he harbored towards M for what went down with Slaughterhouse, believing that the corporate influence that came with signing to Shady ruined the group.
And when you sign your record deal, ask yourself, what do you really want? I wanted respect. I didn't want money, and I didn't want fame. I wanted respect. I can't put words in my brother's mouth, but I was the only one with that stance. Sometimes when the songs came back, verses were missing. It's four in a group. You want an M verse, that's five. All these rap. Somebody's verse had to go. When the verses came back, it was normally Joe's verse cut. That gave a lot of information to Joe. What it said to Joe was, you don't know about the group. You know nothing about us. Know what Joe's gonna do every time you try to contaminate his idea? Guess. You f***ing right. Exit.
But sure enough, that last line from Joe has been telling in terms of how pretty much every relationship he's had before and after Shady has gone down. Even though Everyday Struggle was a huge hit show, he ended up leaving when it didn't conform to his whims. When he grew dissatisfied of Spotify, he left that situation too, turning down a $20 million deal that could have literally changed his co-hosts' lives. And it wasn't long before Spotify and the two hosts would depart from Joe. So at what point, when you're consistently at the center of all this chaos, do you begin to wonder if you're the problem? Still, Joe dug his heels. And while it never saw the light of day, Budden shared clips from a pull-up with Crooked Eye in which he continued to spin the narrative that they had been screwed over in some way by Eminem.
Got it somewhere. Made a lot of money. I don't think it was you. And I don't think it was me. And nor do I think it was Joel. And the geniuses that I think Em and Paul are, really, really mismanaged Arbor.
Following his press run, which resulted in one of the most popular podcast clips ever due to the disses, Joe Budden didn't expect M to reveal his own thoughts on the situation between Shady and Slaughterhouse. Speaking to Sway Calloway after Kamikaze, he explained that even though Budden was determined to declare that they had been shafted, both Shady and hip-hop culture lost out due to Joe's actions.
When I'm out here flying around to different places and doing interviews and trying to use my platform to pump up Slaughterhouse every chance I get, and you're using your platform to trash me, you actually could be affecting this ship a little bit. We gave him another album, and next thing I know, I hear Joe talking about who got that money, who got what money. The album, I hate to say this, but the album didn't do much to even recoup the first budget. Then we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on the second album that never came out. What money didn't you get? I wanted them to be huge, man.
Eminem looked really stressed out this entire interview and was visibly upset when he elaborated more on why he dissed Joe Budden on The Fall.
There's a fine line between saying, you know what, this guy's really been cool to me. He's helped me out and tried to help out on many occasions. So I'm not gonna go in on untouchable like that. I'm gonna say it ain't for me, I'm not crazy about it, whatever, whatever. But to be the worst song you've ever heard in your life, have you listened to your own? Do you not listen back? Because if that's the worst song you've ever heard in your life, I don't know.
Despite what were M's best intentions, Slaughterhouse was simply never going to work due to the fact that Joe wasn't willing to be content or take anything at face value. While other members of the group led with the belief that their word was their bond and that they were all working for a common goal, a clip from that same pull-up episode we mentioned earlier that Crooked Eye, not Joe Budden, shared, saw Joe accidentally show his hand in terms of how he conducts business.
What's your problem with Shane?
Everything.
What didn't they do contractually that they said they were going to do?
What? Oh, I don't get by contracts, bro.
We got to, bro. We put our name on a contract.
I break contracts all the time.
Aside from labeling him backstabbing Trader Joe on Music to be Murdered By, Eminem largely left Budden to his own devices after Kamikaze. But the fallout from the group never releasing the fabled Glass House has raged on for years to the point that Joel Ortiz and Crooked Eye even released their own project titled The Rise and Fall of Slaughterhouse, in which they aim to speak their truth. But to say that Joe denounced the record's release would be a serious understatement. At every fork in the road, Joe has continued to push his side of out the story, refusing to go into specifics of what bothered him about working with Shady and simply claiming that it was everything. With that outlook and Joe's track record of being incapable of working within any framework where he isn't in complete control of the situation, I'm sorry to say that Slaughterhouse was never going to get its full potential. All that someone like Eminem can do is present an opportunity, but it's up to you to seize it. And rather than doing so, Joe Budden did what he always does, which is taking a good thing and turning it to ashes.